Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Lord, we need you, and we want to hear you speaking to us. We ask that you open our ears so that we can listen and respond to your words. We commit the time into your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's message, there are four key words. The first key word we are going to look at it is in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. If you have a Bible, it would be 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. The incident is God appeared to King Solomon and at night. The Lord appeared to Solomon in dream by night, and God said to him, can you chapter 3, verse 5. Yes. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? Ask, what shall I give you? The first key word I'm going to think about is ask. If God appeared to you right now and say something like this to you, maybe Rachel, ask, what shall I give you? Then you may need some time to think about it, isn't it? If I ask Shelley, ask, what shall I give you? If I give you 10 seconds, not enough. You may need to think more. What would I ask the Lord to give me? King Solomon, a king, what would he need? He got a big house, palace, beautiful palace, wives, everything man can want. He got it all. Ask. It's a difficult question. Okay, now, this is the key word. Now, let's look at in another place, in Mark. Chapter 10, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to verse 52. Actually, it's quite a long paragraph. Now they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho. It's talking about Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now you can imagine. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Then many people warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garments, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now this is Jesus asked the person again. What do you want me to do for you? What is in your heart? It's about asking again, isn't it? In the Old Testament, God appeared to Solomon. Ask. God is asking Solomon, ask me anything. What do you want? In here, a blind man approached Jesus. And Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? In Chinese, many people go to the temple worshipping. They have something to ask their gods. Now we came before the Lord. If the Lord asks you, ask me anything, what would you ask? Of course, now notice, Bartimaeus is a blind man. To me, it's so obvious. Lord, look, he's a blind man. Of course he wants his sight. If we look at down further down, in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." So obvious. Why do the Lord Jesus, why did he still has to ask a blind man, "What do you want?" Of course he wants his sight. But actually, there are many options, isn't it? Think about. Now, I do a little bit research on the blind man, the walking stick. The blind man walking stick, they have now new technology. They have ultrasound walking stick. And just like the car, when you do reverse, there's a camera and then it can, a sensor there, beep, 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 like that, it will tell you. So there's a new kind of blind man walking stick with ultrasound. So if you're walking, it can sense something and it can beep, 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 or telling you stop. And some even blind man walking stick, they have a LED light. So at night time, if you're holding the stick, walk, there's a red light flicking down there. So people can see you, people driving the car can see you walking with red light flashing. So you would be quite safe. So nowadays, if you were a blind man and you talk to another blind man, "Hey, I got a new walking stick. It has ultrasound sensor and it can flash and it really great help." So if you were a blind man, you're thinking of, "Hey, that blind man got a walking stick, ultrasound. Lord, I want one as well. Lord, give me a blind man ultrasound walking stick." Or even if you maybe you are a lame person, a crippled legs, "Lord, I want an electronic wheelchair with iPad on it, solar power." Okay, so nowadays actually we ask the Lord a lot of things. Do you know that? And that might not be your real need. Imagine someone has a cancer, blind, a criminal going to face death sentence, come before the Lord and ask the Lord, "Lord, I want money." You would say, "What a fool. You need more than that. That's not what you need." There may be a girl thinking, "I'm not pretty enough. I'm not happy with my face. Lord, if I want to be the most beautiful girl on earth." Actually, she may think beauty is her problem. If I'm more beautiful, more people may like me. If I'm more clever, smart, more people may like me. But all those who know that girl may think her problem is not her face. She's pretty enough. But her main problem is she is so selfish. She is so mean. She is so proud. Her problem is not her face. She got a beautiful face already. So do you know what I'm trying to tell you? We may ask, but we don't know what our real problem is. So if the Lord coming before you and say, "Ask, I'll give anything you need," would you be asking an ultrasound walking stick? You need your eyesight. But even though if you have your eyesight, your problem may not be your eyesight. Your problem may be you're a very mean person. You may be a very selfish person. People don't like you because not because you're blind or not because you can't walk. So you see what I'm trying to tell you. So when we come before the Lord, do you know what you need? I remember when I was a kid, I always liked listening to stories. I particularly liked the story about the Aladdin, the lamp, the genie, three wishes. I always think, what would be my three wishes? The first one, no problem. Some toy I want. The second one, no problem. Maybe the second. But the third is the biggest problem. Because that's my final wish. I will be struggling with the final wish. Then I think of something. I think maybe many of us will share the same. The last wish is, I want another free wish. So I can have continuous wish. So when I was young, I may want toys. But when I become teenagers, then I start to worry about do people like me? Oh, I want to be taller. I want to be stronger. I play basketball and then I want to have good skill so my friends will like me. As I grow older, I want to be as handsome as that person or maybe as beautiful as that girl, for girls, okay? And then after graduation, I need a good job. If the Lord asks me, ask, what would you want? I need a good job. I want to go to that uni. I want to get that course. Unlimited wants in our life. Right at my age, I'd be more concerned about my health. So think about all, if you come before the Lord, what would you ask? Thinking about all the things you can ask, many of them are just temporary, not real. They won't last forever. So what do I need most? I'm afraid so often we don't know what we need. If today God comes before you and ask, what shall I give you? Oh, I want this, but that may be my real need. Even if I have a beautiful face, but all the people around me know that you have a bigger problem than your face. You have a very poor attitude. You have a very poor character. We don't know what our need is. So if the Lord asks you, what do you want? I'm afraid many of us don't know what to ask. So that's the first key words I want to point out. What is eternal? What is the most valuable thing in life? God, tell me, what is the most valuable thing? Is it eyesight? Is it wealth? Is it knowledge? Is it a good family? Is that all? What is the most valuable thing that can last forever? Can we look at another passage in 2 Peter? So we don't have to guess. The Lord has already told us through Peter. And let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Verse 3 to 11. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Maybe I'll start with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain, that is related to life and godliness. Has given. Now, my second key word is given. We don't know what is valuable thing, most valuable. But God in here is that God has given already. You don't have to ask anymore because the Lord has provided everything, given to us all things pertain to life and godliness. So what do I need in my life? God has provided for you. But the life and godliness we can think about it as God-likeness, to be like Him. So, what is the most valuable thing in life? God knows, and He has provided already before we even ask. We may think of something temporary, maybe money, maybe knowledge, maybe beauty, but God knows we need something more than that. And that is godliness in our life. And He has given us all things for the godliness. Now, for example, if I want to rebuild my house, then what do I need? I need a lot of different materials. So where do I get it normally? Or maybe I'll go to Bunnings. Okay? So when I go into Bunnings, all the building materials, all the different kinds of taps, tiles, you want to build a kitchen, all the different sets of kitchen, everything is there. Everything provided. So, going back to the verse up there, can we go back to the verse? Yes. God, now, for renovation, God has, Bunnings can provide all things regarded to renovation, isn't it? You need nails, different kinds of nails, screws, different kinds of tools, different kinds of tools, hammers, different kinds of hammers, drill, all kinds of drill, everything provided in there. So in regarding to life and godliness, everything provided already, given. So the key word is, the first word is ask, but we don't know what to ask. Given, God has already given for us regarding to God-likeness. Because in God's mind, that is the most important thing. That is eternal thing. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So He called us with His glory and virtue. Notice the word virtue. It's His character, it's His nature to attract us to be like Him, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature. Not to be a millionaire, not to be a PhD degree, not to get a Nobel Prize, but partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. If we are not going to be more like Him, we are going to be into corruption through our lust. So brothers and sisters, we don't know what is the best for us. We may think toys, money, everything, but in God's mind, godliness. He has given us all. We can be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So we can see the list. First of all is faith, and then virtue, and then knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. Can we go down to verse 6? Brotherly kindness, and then love. So you can see the list. More and more and more. You can remember also there's another list about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, patience, kind, and all this is about the virtue that is inside you, that can't be taken away. Beauty lasts for a very short time. Money can come and go easily. But God's divine nature, God's character in us, lasts into eternity. Look at this. Can we keep going? And in verse 9, for he who lacks this is the short-sighted, even to blindness. So are we blind? Don't you see what is most important thing in life? It's God's character being built in us, in our life. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Now this verse 11, I was puzzling about this. What does it mean by an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly? It seems strange. Entrance, I think it's just a door, I go through it. Immediate, so simple. What do you mean by an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this entrance must be very special. And then I read some books, and then I got another picture. remember, say, for example, for those people who take part in Olympic, and when they won gold medal, when they come back, the entrance, when they come back, there will be a parade in George Street, and they'll come to Down Hall. They'll sit in a maybe an open top bus and waving, people waving to them. What a glorious, grand entrance! Everybody welcoming them. So the bus will be supplied. All the things will be supplied. What a glorious entrance! Or we can think of when I talked with a brother yesterday, he gave me another picture, just like the wedding. Everybody waiting, and the bride and the bridegroom, dun, 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 they walk in, everybody expecting, taking, using their phone, taking pictures. It's a glorious moment. So when we entering into the everlasting kingdom of God, what will be the most valuable thing that is the nature or the character of God in our life? So God has already in his mind, he knows his character, his life in us. That's the glory that can be everlasting. So one day when we entered into his kingdom, are you blind, naked? Or are we entering his kingdom in glory? Just now I talked about renovation. Just like everyone is a piece of land, have we built up God's character in our piece of land, in our life? Or is it still a waste land? Garbage, people dropping garbage, dump the asbestos on that piece of land. When I look at your piece of land, your life, nothing can be seen. Nothing is barren. Nothing was built. I can't see the beauty of Christ in your life. It's a wasteland. Think about your life. Oh, I got money. I got knowledge. Many successful stories in my life. But in God's eye, it's a rubbish, a pile of rubbish. But when God sees the character of Christ in your life, there's beauty in it, and that can last forever. So the second word I mentioned just now is given. God has given us all the things we need, just like Bunnings, all the building material is there, but you need to build it in on that land. God has provided us everything we need so that our life can manifest Christ in our life. So God has prepared everything we need for Christ to be in our life. But we may then ask, how can this building up carry out in my life? I know what is beautiful, what is eternal value there, but how does it work out in my life today? Now, then we have to look at another passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The third key word I want to point out is present. So, the land is there. We have to remove all the rubbish, all the sin in our life. Take it away. Because there's a building process going on. God is want to build Christ up in our life. So we have to remove all the rubbish on that piece of land. Jesus Christ died on the cross. His blood cleansed us, is to remove all this rubbish away. And then we have to present ourselves before the Lord. So remember in the past, a brother shared with us, we are not trying to be Christians, but we are trained. So, you know, when they come to the building, there is a master there. When we accepted Christ, Holy Spirit came into our life, and He is going to instruct us how to build, day by day, to build up Christ in our life. So all we have to do is not trying to, how do I build? Simple, just follow the instruction of the master. So all you have to do is present. That means you are willing. You are willing to cooperate. You are willing to listen to the master. You will be complying to his instructions, following obedience. You are willing to follow the instructions step by step, and then the master is going to build Christ's character in our life. So all we have to do is nothing. You don't have to know the whole plan. You may not have any experience in building, but at least you can follow the master. Do this. Put the nail here. Hammer it like this. This is how you use the drill. This is how you do the rendering on the wall. The master is going to teach us every day. So all we have to do is present yourselves, knowing that there's a good purpose. Willingly, gladly, we cooperate. So this is the third thing, the third key words is to present. And again, let me say that again. The first, we don't know what we should ask. Second word is given. God has given everything ready. All you have to do is to present yourself. Make yourself available, ready to follow Him. And then what He will do in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. You know, this world is trying to change us into following them, following the fashion, following the way of this world. Maybe your friends want that game or want to buy that and want to do that. They are trying to draw us away from this great work God is doing. If someone is trying to build something in their mind, he can't stop you building, but he'll ask you to do something else in order to stop you building the character of Christ. So there may seem to be other projects going on, trying to draw you away from this. But the Lord wants us to follow Him. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We need to be transformed. So the fourth key word I want to point out is transformed. So if we present ourselves to the Lord, don't worry. You don't have to transform yourself. He will transform us. Be transformed. Okay? So we are not the robot transformer, boom, 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 and then you transform by yourself. No. God will do the transformation in us. By renewing of your mind. So before your life change, transformation takes place, something happened before that. God will, if you present yourself, God say He will transform, renewing your mind. You will look at things differently. And normally, by His words, I would say. So if He did not tell us anything, we may think in our own way. Just like I mentioned just now, a girl may ask for beauty because she thinks her problem is her look. This is her mind. But once you come to know the Lord transforms your mind. Oh, my problem is not my look. My problem is myself. My problem is I'm a selfish person. My problem is that I'm jealous. I'm proud. I need Christ's character in my life. So this is transforming of your mind, isn't it? Before you think beauty is your problem. Right now you know, no, the problem is myself. I need Christ's life in me. So renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So, simple word is, we will be transformed when we followed Him. We'll change, we'll be changed. Now, I'll give you three examples. The first example is in Hebrew. We talk about Abraham. We are going to talk about a little bit about Noah and Abraham again. Can we turn to Hebrew chapter 11? Hebrew chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 7. First of all, let's have a look at Noah. Now, Noah, it says by faith Noah, and then verse 8, by faith Abraham. Now notice, it's because of the faith. But notice, Noah being divinely warned. Now notice God's word come to him, isn't it? So Noah wouldn't suddenly change, but Noah changed because God's word came to him and he complied with, and he followed God's word, isn't it? So warned, it means God has spoken to him. Warn of things not yet seen. And then Noah changed, isn't it? He transformed, moved with godly fear. Now before that, he may be fear of men. Wow, if I change my lifestyle, if I start to build an ark, what would people think about me? But because God's words came to him, and he responded to God's word, he changed, moved with godly fear. Now, there's a word there, prepared an ark. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Which is not easy. Imagine at that time, if he has to build an ark, what would people, then people may ask him, why did you build an ark? Then Noah has to tell them, God told me there will be judgment because people live in sin. Now you are condemning the nation, people around you. In a way, you are saying, hey, you guys, we are doing wrong. And you are going to face a lot of, you are making a lot of enemies. Think about the hostility he has to face. Think about the fear he has. Think about the humiliation he has to face every day. Hey, Noah, where are you going? Why are you holding that log? Building an ark again? Oh, every day he has to do that. Look, right now, it seems so easy. Just one word. And prepare an ark. It's so simple. But think about the long time he experienced. The humiliation, the fear, the hostility every day he faced. It's not that easy. But through his testimony, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. So in his life, we can see God's righteousness manifested through his life. So he became one of the heroes in the book of Hebrews. So God's word came to him and he changed. And he shines to become showing people the righteousness of God. That has eternal value. Even up to today, we still learn something from him, isn't it? So that is something eternal. Keep thinking about Noah. If he do something else, if you try to build a bigger house instead of an ark, where would that house be? is gone in the flood, no more. But this ark, his action, can last up to today. We can still know God's testimony through him. And look at verse 8, by faith. Second example, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would not receive, where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Now obeyed, and he went out. It's not easy as well. You can imagine lots of questions will be asked. My daughters want to travel to some faraway places, or Thailand, or Nepal. Then I said, is it secure there? I worried a lot sometimes. If you ask me to travel, I will always search. I'm the driving instructor. If I have to teach driving in another suburb, I don't know that much. I have to go to Google it. Where should I teach the student how to turn left and right? Where are the roundabouts? I have to look for it. I can't go there and try. I have to study it before I start the lesson, isn't it? We need to be prepared. Otherwise, I will panic. Where should I turn? Where should I go? I'm lost. So nowadays, we need so much. We need to read the brochure about that place. Where should I go? I have a 3 days travel. The first day, I should visit there. Second day, we have to all the good planning. Where's the hospital? Have you got insurance? We have to think so much about going to a new places. But how about Abraham? Going out to nowhere. Imagine you are driving a boat out of the harbor into the Pacific Ocean. Where are you going? No idea. You have to trust God in that way. It is not easy, my friend. God's word is simple. Leave here. And then he has to go out. It's not that simple. So when you follow God's word, your character, you are in training. God is building, just like I talked about a piece of land, building up a house there. So when you follow God's word, the master is going to build up his character in your life. Now, the third example is, actually, it's not an example, it's about you, the one sitting here. Okay? Now we know God's, Jesus' command. When we read 1 John, there's one command, the greatest command. Or when we study John chapter 14, the Lord gave us one command. What is that? Love one another, isn't it? It's so simple. But how do you love one another now, today? So, for many young people, maybe young boys, young girls, I don't know, you just come to the meeting and then you go. Very quiet, very shy. You may be only willing to talk to some of your close friends. You don't know how to talk to the uncles or aunties. You don't feel secure enough to talk to them. You want maybe just like a clamp, closing the shells. You don't want to expose yourself. You don't want to tell them much about yourself. You're afraid, I got my parents nagging me already. I don't want more uncle and aunties to interfere my life. So you don't want to tell much about yourself to them. So you live a very close life. And in order to be like that, you don't want to show no interest to know more about them as well. So maybe you come to the meeting, but you close up yourself, not trying to reach out to people. Is that how we love one another? Think about the babies. The baby's only concerned about, they're feeling, they're hungry, they cry. Would the baby think about, if I cry, do I disturb my mom? Do I disturb other people? No, they're just concerned about themselves. If your mind is like that, you are just concerning about yourself, not showing interest to other people. You just come to listen to the message and then you go, come and go like that. Is that how we love one another? I'm afraid not. Later on, when I became a Christian, and then when I joined the meeting, I still feel I felt the same way. I don't know how to talk to older Christians, mature adults. When I was still in uni, I don't know what should I talk to them. I don't know how to talk to them actually. They can talk about their children. They can talk about work. My life is just simple life at school. I don't have much topic to talk with them. So I felt difficult to I don't know how to love them actually. And in another way, I'm not so sure about myself. So I want to close up, just like a clam, close up the shell. But later on when I see that, the Lord wants me to love. How do I love them? Then the Lord starts to show me something. Do I appreciate them? Before I start to really doing something differently outward, will my heart first change? Do I treasure them in my heart? Then I start to notice some brothers and sisters, they are faithfully serving me. They give up their time, even though they are sick, they still work very hard to serve me. Then I start to appreciate these brothers and sisters. In my heart, I start to wonder, what did God do in their lives? What happens to them? Then I start to want to know more, a little bit about them. So, you can see many brothers and sisters served us, get ready for everything for us. Do you take all this for granted? Do you appreciate them? Would you ever say something to encourage them? If they are sick, how are you getting on? Would you pray for them? Would you show interest to know what's happening in their life? Do you think I always like to talk to strangers? No, not at all. But I know something. They belong to Christ. And we are not just a group of people getting together each Sunday, listening to the message, and then we go. No, this is the family of God. They are my brothers. They are my sisters. God has been doing some work in them. I wonder how God is doing, how they are doing before the Lord. Are they struggling? Are my brothers and sisters struggling in their study? Are they struggling in their work? Are there fears in their, all this sense of insecurity? Do they need prayer? Do they need help? They may be busy setting up all things. Do they need help? So you start to treasure them, and then you want to know them, talk to them. Recently, a young brother had a short talk with me. I was helping him to do some driving. But he started to ask me some personal questions. And I feel happy about this. Why? Because, hey, this brother, I thought he was so cold. Every time I have to ask him, how are you doing? How things do? Good. Okay. They don't talk much to me. But sometimes, oh, that's very different last time. Last time, hey, Paul, why did you come to Australia? Why don't you keep on teaching chemistry? Hey? You seem to ask me personal questions. You seem to really want to know something about me. And I'm joyful. This little asking shows that he wants to know me, not just to have some asking for my help, but he wants to know me as a brother. I'm joyful. Just like you taking care of the baby, one day the baby wants you. And you feel so good about this. Because we are not just not just a congregation. We are a family in Christ. So I treasure the bonding with brothers and sisters. Not just asking, oh, how are you today? Not just that, but maybe deeper. One day, we can encourage one another, helping one another in Christ. So, if we try to love one another, we may lack the social skill, but first of all, let us try to observe and treasure each other. Not criticizing, oh, he shouldn't do that, oh, that's no good, that's no good. Not criticizing, but appreciating brothers and sisters. Someone can do this, someone can serve the Lord like this, appreciating. Maybe someone serves you, and then you say, thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. Thank you for doing this for us. A simple thank you speaks of you appreciating brothers and sisters. These little steps, let me tell you, helps. If you take these little steps, this is transformation of your mind, renewing of your mind, and your life will be transformed. From a very don't care about others Christian, your character is maybe I don't care about others, I just come and go. When you start to appreciating others, encouraging one another, then your life starts to change. Start to love one another. When God looks at you, your life is changing. You're showing kindness, showing patience, showing understanding, showing support to your brothers and sisters. Now, this is the life-changing, most valuable thing happening to you. Not just gaining some biblical knowledge, but our life changed by Him. Because God says we have to love one another, okay? If you don't ask, how do I show my love to other people? No problem. No, if you don't want to learn, no questions asked. Those who ask questions are really want to learn. So if I ask you, do you want to know how to love one another? Then if you really try, then a lot of questions may come to you. How do I connect to the uncles? How do I connect to young people? How do I serve these kids? Lots of questions will come to your mind. And then the Holy Spirit will guide you. You may not start to connect with everyone in the beginning, start a few, someone close to you, and then the Holy Spirit will guide you to serve more people, to reach out to different brothers and sisters. He will guide you step by step every day. So, in summary for what I shared, we don't know what to ask, but all is given to us in Christ. God wants us to be more like Him. God-likeness is God is trying to build up in our life. All we have to do is present ourselves to Him, and the Holy Spirit will transform us, transform our life. One simple direction is we should learn to love one another. Not just coming to the meeting, not just come and go, but reach out, open your life. Know others and let the others know you. In this way, there will be real spiritual bonding. When you face difficulty, no one knows. When you need prayer, no one knows, because you always come and go. When you come to a family, we pray the Lord that we know how to love. Let this congregation, not just congregation, this is the body of Christ, let there be love. Spiritual, that is the bonding between us. Let there be love. This is my message today. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that you know what our need is, and you are willing to teach us. So we ask that we present ourselves into your hand. And Lord, we ask that you transform us to be more like you. Teach us how to love one another, caring for one another. We commit our lives into your hand. We pray that you continue to work in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.